Blog Talk Radio.
Christ, I'm moving forward this morning, and I thank God that you're moving forward with me today. May the Lord God continually watch over and bless you. In this month of March, it is Women's Month. We are still talking Moses and absolutely awesome woman of this word passed on. In our word this morning, this is Old Testament Friday, and we're going to talk about Miriam. She passes on today in our word, and, you know, you feel a little bad because you're like, she was so much a part of the ministry that Moses and Aaron did. Yes, she had a moment, and she got leprosy, but she still did her assignment as a prophetess for God. She still did what she was asked to do by God, and she repented. And that's what we talked about on yesterday, repentance. We got to repent. When we mess up, we got to clean up. And some of us got more cleaning up to do than others. But we must do what we have to do. Moses' circle is getting smaller in today's lesson. He is losing his family. His siblings are dying. And there's a lot of words and a lot of situations. But we're going to go into prayer. And we have incorporated, to start off in the morning of prayer, I have a new book, and it's 365 Days of Prayer for Life. And so we're going to pray this morning. And the word of God and our prayer is this, drawing me back. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace. At all times in every way, the Lord be with you all. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Jehovah, in you all things find their place. You bring calm situation. You release peace to the turbulent heart. Lord, today as I live and work, may the peace of your presence be my portion. I know that you are with me, God of peace. Let not my heart be troubled. Let everything I think, say, and do be situated in the love of God that quiets chaos. You are the giver of the rest of my heart. The rest my heart needs. I know that with you, I don't need to frantically figure everything out. Ooh. You give solutions to the most complicated problems. May I be a carrier of your peace into every place my feet go today. May I be a harboring of your love that brings unity instead of division. Let the peace of your presence not only fill me, but may it tangibly change the atmosphere around me, bringing calm to even the testiest. A my situation. There is no one else like you who gives order to complete chaos. What an honor to walk with you in the path of peace. What does the fruit of peace look like in your life today, fam? Let's get back into our work. And we will also have a prayer as we end today. But I must pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for our 365 days of prayer. But Father God, as we pray every day, I ask you, Lord God, to please increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your sight, Father God. For you are my strength and my redeemer. Father, I ask that you speak through me what needs to be said and what does not need to be said. Father God, keep it behind my teeth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's get into the word again. If there is anyone who would like to read this morning, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. And the call-in line to read is 213-943-3597. This is Bible study. And the goal of this ministry is to read the Word of God, every word, from Genesis to Revelation, in 1 year. We are coming again out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And I am covered intentionally from the New King James Version of the Word. And it is to make King James more understandable to the masses. Everybody cannot do them and that, but they can do them and that. So let's keep it moving. And the Word of God says this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar, the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of his blood with his finger, and sprinkle some of its blood 7 times directly in front of the tabernacle meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, its oil, all shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet, and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. He shall bathe in water. And afterwards he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for purifying from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the third day and on the seventh day, then he will be clean. But if he does not pure himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law when a man dies in a tent. All who come into the tent and all who are 7 days and every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it is unclean. Whoever the open field touches one who is slain by sword or who has died or a bone of a man or a grave shall be unclean 7 days. And for an unclean person they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer burnt for purification from sin, and running water shall be put on them in a vessel. A clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water, sprinkle it on the tent, on all the vessels, on the persons who were there, or on the one who touched a bone, the slain, the dead, or a grave. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day. And on the seventh day, he shall purify himself, wash his clothes, and bathe in water. And at every evening, he shall be clean. But the man who is unclean and does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of purification has not been sprinkled on him. He is unclean. It shall be a perpetual statute for them. He who sprinkles the water of purification shall wash his clothes, and he who touches the water of purification shall be unclean until evening. Whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person who touches it shall be unclean until evening. Wow, God didn't play about cleanliness, did he? Let's keep it moving. Chapter 20 of Numbers. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. So Miriam, Moses' sister, passes on at Kadesh. And we all know she was a prophetess. She celebrated. She was the one that followed Moses down the river. She was the one that suggested that her mother should nurse her son. Hallelujah. She was the one that was there watching over him through childhood. She was the one that was there that supported him through his ministry. Yes, he has the moment that the enemy came at her and made her jealous of her brother. But she cleaned up, got right, did what she was supposed to do, and supported her brother. A little bigotry got in there when she started thinking about his wife, who was an Ethiopian, and had a moment. But God, the bottom line is, in this month of women, Miriam was a absolute essential to the ministry, to the pilgrimage of her people. So we thank God for a sister like Miriam today. And as we continue in our word, it says, and now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses, of course, and Aaron, and the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only, here we go again, we had died when our brother died before the Lord. Why have you brought us up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is it not a place of grain, of beans, of vine, of pomegranates? Nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the reed, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak. I want y'all to put a highlight on that word. Highlight it. Speak to the rock before their eyes. That's a highlightable, and you'll understand why later on. But that is a highlightable. When God says, speak to something, you don't hit it. You don't beat it. You don't tear it apart. You speak to it, just as the Lord said. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water from there for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels. Must we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with the rod. The water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Now, what did God say to do? Did God say, "That rock"? Did God say, "Get upset"? What did God say to do? God said, "Speak to the rock before their eyes." God didn't tell you to hit that rock. That's the point. When God says do something, we do what God says. Not because we're angry, we do what we want to do. Not because we don't like Sister Susie, we're going to keep Sister Susie out of the program when God said that Sister Susie should be the keynote speaker. We got to understand what God says do, you got to do. And then as we come on now, it says this. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." In other words, you are not making it in. You are not going to get to the promised land. You too will not make it in because of disobedience. I don't want to be so disobedient that I don't make it in the gate. I don't want to be so disobedient I don't make it through to be hurt, to stand before Jesus and before the Father and hear, "My good and faithful servant, well done." I don't want to be disobedient. And I don't believe Moses wanted to be disobedient, but he just got tired of these whiny, rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted people who didn't appreciate the blessings that they had. Could have been in the promised land. Could have been sipping on milk and honey. Could have been eating them big old grapes and figs. Could have been having everything they needed. But instead, they chose to listen to the 10 instead of the 2. They chose to not believe that God brought them to it and that he would bring them through it. Hallelujah, what a word this morning. And since this was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord and he was hallowed among them. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us. How our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Then Edom said to him, "You shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword." Now I want to put a pin right there. For those that don't know who Edom is, Edom is the descendant of Esau. These are their cousins. Edom is the cousin of Israel. Edom is Esau's blessing. So understand, the descendants of Jacob should be able to come through because they're your cousins. three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10 generations removed, but they still are your cousins, perhaps. You are family. And they say, nope, you can't come to me. Let's keep going. So the children of Israel said to him, we will go by the highway as if I or my livestock drink any of your waters, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot and nothing more. Then he said, you shall not pass through. You know, it sounds like, what is that, Lord of the Rings and Gandalf with the big, his big staff saying, you shall not pass through. You know, that's Edom. And folks that don't know what I was talking about, I'm sorry. I have children. So I watch that. So, you know, not believing in anything, witches and all that mess. But I did read and watch The Lord of the Rings. So understand this word. You shall not come through. Then he said, you shall not pass through. So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, but he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Told you, not speaking to that rock that have consequences. Take Aaron and Eliza his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eliza his son, for Aaron shall be gathered to his people, and die there. So Moses did just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor, in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eliza his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Elijah came down from the mountain. Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days. And we will, if time permits, go back and do some life lessons show today. Chapter 21. Now, the title of our lesson today is that God is in charge of everything. Now, we already found out that Moses and Aaron, disobedient, hit the rock instead of speaking to it. Because speaking to the rock would have had a more of an impact than hitting that rock. Because they've done that before. So let's keep it going. And now we're getting ready to talk about prophets and how prophets can be used for good or used for bad. You got to pray and ask God for discernment for prophetic word. And so we got a prophet who is a for-hire prophet. Give me $4.95 and I got it work for you. Give me $14.95. Make sure you add the $4.95. Oh, it could be $24.95, but remember, I need the $4.95 for the word to go through. So for-hire prophet. And we're going to find out about him. But one thing about this prophet, he's not stupid at first. And you'll understand if you go through the word that he made some mistakes and it cost him his life. But for right now, let's see what it says in Numbers chapter 21. The king of Eretz, the Canaanite who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Ephraim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy this. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their city. So the name of that place was called Horma. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Here they go again. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? But there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Okay, keep talking. Let that tongue get the best of you. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, but we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. And we know that that is of the medical, American Medical Association, I believe, is the serpent on the pole. Deals with medicine now. And let's keep it going. Verse number 10. I told y'all it was a good word this morning. Now the children of Israel moved on to Camp Oberon, and they journeyed from Oberon and camped at Azer Abram in the wilderness, which is east of Moab toward the sunrise. From there they moved and camped in the valley of Zered. From there they moved and camped on the other side of Arnon, which is in the wilderness that extends from the border of the Amorites. For the Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and the Amorites. Therefore it is said in the book of the wars of the Lord, way up in Kephar, the brook of the Arnon, and the slope of the brook that reaches to the dwelling of Or that lies on the border of Moab. From there they went to Beer, which is the well where the Lord said to Moses, "Gather the people together, and I will give them water." Then Israel sang this song, "Spring up, O well, all of you sing to it. The well, the leader sank, dug by the nation's nobles, by the lawgiver with the staff." And it goes on to say, "And from the wilderness they went to Mathanah, and Mathaniah, and Naphtali to Bamoth, and from Bamoth in the valley that is the country of Moab to the top of Pegasus, which looks down on that wasteland, a Pisgah." And it says, "Then Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, saying, 'Let me pass through your land. We will not turn aside into fields or vineyards. We will not drink water from wells. We will go by the king's highway until we have passed through your territory.' But Sihon would not allow Israel to pass through his territory. So Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel in the wilderness. And it came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. Then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Arnon to Jabbok, as far as the people of Ammon, for the border of the people of Ammon was fortified. So Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Hashbon and in all its villages. For Hashbon was the city of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who had fought against the former king of Moab and had taken all his land from his hand as far as Arnon. Therefore, those who speak in Proverbs say, 'Come to Hezron, let it be built. Let the city of Sihon be repaired.' For fire went out from Hezron, a flame from the city of Sihon. It consumed Or and the Moab, the lords of the heights of Arnon. Woe to you, Moab, you have perished, O people of Chemosh. We have our Chemosh. We have given his sons as fugitives and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, king of the Amorites. But we have shot at them. Hezbon has perished as far as Debon, and we laid waste as far as Mephah, which reached the Medeba." Thus Israel dwelt in the land of the Amorites. Then Moses sent to spy Jabal, and they took its villages and drove out the Amorites who were there. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan. So Or, king of Bashan, went out against them, he and his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have delivered him into your hand, with all his people and his land, and you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon. So they defeated him, his sons, and all his people, until there was no survivor left him, and they took possession of the land. Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Bethel, is near the river in the land of the sons of the people, to call him and say, look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. But understand, Balak wasn't in charge of anything. He was a servant of God, and God is the one in charge of everything. Not his prophets, not his teachers, not his preachers, not any of us. We aren't in charge of anything. We work at the will of the Lord. And Balak also worked at the will and the will of the Lord. And let's see what happens. So he's going to tell him, whatever you curse, it curse, whatever you bless. Okay. God can take a curse and make it a blessing. Be careful what you ask for. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the divining speed in their hand, and they came to Balaam to speak to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me. So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Then Balak again is more numerous and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says the Balak, the son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me. But I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse these people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, do Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, please, you also stay here tonight that I may know what more the Lord will say to me. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call, you rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you that you shall do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way of an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand, but now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden ever since I became yours? To this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Now, wait a minute. I want y'all to think this through. This man, this prophet, is standing here in conversation with a donkey. Think that through. He is in conversation with a donkey. And talking to the donkey like the donkey's a person. And the donkey's asking him a question. He answering the question like the donkey's a person. That right there should give him a clue. Something's not quite right in Hooterville. And it goes on to say, and he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way of his drawn, with his drawn sword. In his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside with me, from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and her, and let her alive, and let her live." And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way of this me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Now when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon, the boundary of the territory. Then Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not earnestly send to you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" And Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you now. Have I any power at all to say anything, the word that God puts in my mouth, that I must have?" Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kazeth Hazzoth. Then Balak offered oxen and sheep, and he sent some to Balaam and to the princes who were with him. So it was the next day that Balak took Balaam and brought him up to the high places at Baal, that from there he might observe the extent of the people. Numbers chapter 23, as I said, a great word today. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Build seven altars for me here and prepare for me here seven bulls and seven rams." And Balak did just as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stand by your burnt offering, and I will go. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet me, and whatever he shows me, I will tell you." So he went to a desolate height, and God met Balaam, and he said to him, "I have prepared the seven altars, and I have offered on each altar a bull and a ram." Then the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." So he returned to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering. He and all the princes of Moab, and he took up his oracle and said, "Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come curse Jacob for me, and come denounce Israel." How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rock I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There are people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number one fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. Then Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully. So he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? Then Balak said to him, please come with me to another place from which you may see them. You shall see only the outer part of them and shall not see them all. Curse them for me from there. So he brought them to the field of Zephon, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars and offered a bull and a ram on each altar. And he said to Balak, stand here by your burnt offering while I meet the Lord over there. Then the Lord met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, go back to Balak, and thus you shall speak. So he came to him, and there he was, standing by his burnt offering. And the princes of Moab were with him, and Balak said to him, what has the Lord spoken? Then he took out his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and as he said and will he not do? Has he said and will he not do? Or has he and will he not make it good? Again, for those that are wondering where that scripture that we hear people quote all the time, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. It comes out of Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. And as we finish it up, it says, has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? God is in charge of everything, Sam. Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strengthened like a wild ox. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and of Israel, of what God has done. Look, a people rises like a lion and leaps and lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all. So Balaam answered and said to Balak, did I not tell you, saying, all that the Lord speaks that I must do? Then Balak said to Balaam, please come, I will take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there. So Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor, and that overlooks the wasteland. Then Balaam said to Balak, build for me here seven altars and prepare for me here seven bulls and seven rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bull and a ram on every altar. Now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as at other times to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Then he took up the oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedar beside the water. He shall pour water from his bucket, and his seed shall be in many waters. He shall, his king shall be higher than a god, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down. He lies down as a lion, and as a lion, who shall rouse him? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. Whew, what a word. Then Balak's anger was aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and look, you have bountifully blessed them these three times. Now, therefore, flee to your place. I said I would greatly honor you, but in fact, the Lord has kept you back from honor. So Balaam said to Balak, did I not also speak to your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, if Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says that I must speak. And now indeed I am going to my people. Come, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. So he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are open, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of Tormund. And Edom shall be a possession. There also his enemy shall be a possession, while Israel does valiantly. Out of Jacob one shall have dominion and destroy the remains of the city. Then he looked at Amalek, and he looked up at his oracle and said, Amalek was first among the nations, but shall be last until he perishes. Then he looked on at the Kenites, and he took up his oracle and said, firm is your dwelling place, and your nest is set in the rock. Nevertheless, Cain shall be burned. How long until Asher carries you away captive? Then he took up his oracle and said, alas, who shall live when God does this? What ship shall come from the coast of Cyprus? And they shall afflict Asher and Eber, and so shall Amalek until he perishes. So Balaam rose and departed and returned to his place. Balak also went his way. Again, God is in charge of everything. You cannot give a prophetic word that does not come from the Lord. Balak had to learn that Balaam was not going to say what God did not say. He understood his assignment. And I don't care how much money you pay, when a prophet is for real, they gonna do what they have to do because they don't want to be cursed by God. And just to get a couple of few life lessons in, as time permits, from our numbers word today. And on Sunday, we will be in Psalms, Proverbs, and the book of Mark, starting at chapter 12. And as we go through some life lessons, the life lesson, it says in Numbers 20 and 12, because you did not believe me, you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Obedience always brings blessings, as disobedience always brings consequences. Moses allowed his anger and frustration to provoke him into an ugly display of the flesh, which was to hit the rock instead of speak to it. Yes, God still gave him water, but it would have had a bigger impact had he politely spoke to the rock, and the rock would have given water. Numbers 20 and 21, thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory, so Israel turned away from him. It may have confused Israel why the Lord allowed the Edomites to refuse their passage, but as children of sovereign God, we are never victims of our circumstance. Can I say that again? As children of God, we are never victims of our circumstances. Hallelujah. Numbers 21 and 2, if you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. God allowed a pagan king to take some Israelites captive in battle. But when we serve God, momentarily defeats give way to the ultimate victory. Adversity is a setback from which we take our greatest leaps forward. And I say this, from your test come your testimony. From your mess comes your messages. Hallelujah. Numbers 21 and 9, Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, he looked at the bronze pole and he lived. The bronze serpent that Moses made in the desert foreshadowed the ultimate work of salvation that Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. Hallelujah. Now, Numbers 21 and 24, then Israel defeated him with the edge of the sword and took possession of his land from Arnon to Tabor. In years to come, Israel often remembered the victory God had given them over Shihon and Oreb. And then as we go forward, it helps us move forward when we commemorate spiritual victories. And I'm sure many have their own spiritual victories that you must commemorate. Don't forget what God has done for you. Numbers 22 and 32, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. Why was Balaam's way perverse before God? Because despite his good words, he harbored ill will against God's people. And eventually, he died because of it. And we'll get to that in Numbers 31 and 8. Those whom the Lord blesses will not be cursed, and woe to any who try. So anybody trying to curse you as a child of God, they better be careful. Because what you try to throw out at God's people will come back at you tenfold. You wondering why you're sick. You wondering why things is going on. Because you tried to touch an anointed of God. So don't worry what people say about you. You just do what you're supposed to do for God. And God will do the rest. Because why? He's in charge of what? Everything. Numbers 24 and 14, I will advise you what this people will do to your people in the latter days. Balaam not only advised Balak what Israel would do to his nation in the latter days, apparently he also advised him how to get Israel to sin and so lose the favor of God. And we'll find that out in Numbers 31. Again, Balaam is not all squeaky clean. So he's going to do some stuff, and it's going to cost him his life. But we'll get to it in some chapters down the road. And I love this word, this life principle that Dr. Stanley gave us. And it says this, God's word is an immovable anchor in times of storm. And I say you got to hold on to the anchor. The anchor holds and grips the solid rock because that rock is Jesus. We got to hold on to Jesus during our storms in life. We got to hold on to Jesus during our times of strife. We got to hold on to Jesus. When things be seen immovable, God will take that mountain and make it into a valley. And it says the words of King Darius echo through Daniel's mind as servants lowered him into the lion's den. Your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Workers then laid a heavy stone over the opening of the underground chamber. Even after assessing his dire situation, Daniel did not waver in his faith. The next morning, King Darius found Daniel untouched and proclaiming, O King, live forever. My God sent his anger and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me. You know, and when we get to this word, we will understand how important it is to follow God. You know, we haven't got into Numbers, in Numbers 23 and 19. Let's go back over there real quick. And it says, God is not a man. Can y'all say that with me one more time? God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, as he said, will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? We got to remember that whatever God says, he will do. He will do. Why? Because he's in charge of everything. And that is our word for this morning. Thanking God for each and every one of you. And I encourage you, if you have opportunity, to buy the Charles Stanley Life Principle Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. It is what you need in your biblical arsenal. There's not a such, I don't think there's such a thing as too many Bibles. And before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word for today is this. Faith sees the invisible, believe the incredible, and receive the impossible. Have a faith-filled Friday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have a faith-filled Friday, family. And as we get ready to leave again, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. And as we get ready to leave, I have one more prayer. And it says this, though I fail, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:26, NIV. And it says, Lord, of my comings and goings, you stay consistently with me. You see my joy and my sorrow. You know my victories and my failures. Though failures make my heart heavy with discouragement, your expectations are different. You are not surprised by the way my heart and flesh get weary with my own blunders. Yet you aren't discouraged. Help me to see from your perspective that everything that turns out badly is not the end. With every breath I have, it is an opportunity to know you in a new way. I cannot exhaust your goodness. I will never reach the end of your love that makes all things new. Fill me with the light of your revelation that I may be filled with courage to start again no matter how many new beginnings I've faced before. All I have is this moment, and in this moment you are the same God as you've always been. I receive your love that strengthens my heart to keep going. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't changed. And I say to you this morning, does God think differently of you when you fail or when you succeed? And I say, as Sister Carolyn has said this morning, have a faith-filled Friday, knowing that God has got you covered. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Have a faith-filled Friday, family. Keep it God first. Don't let a donkey have to tell you what's what. Be blessed. It is a wrap. Have a blessed day.